Today on Real Life Radio.
You want to know if you're going to a church where the Holy Spirit's moving? There's going to be all kinds of stuff going on, but the key thing will be conviction. It's going to be the Holy Spirit that's going to tell you inside your head, be nicer to your wife, will you?
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 1, continues now with his series called The Why Series. Every believer's story begins with the work of the Holy Spirit bringing miraculous new birth. We've been given a new life and a new identity through the power of the Holy Spirit. Our misunderstanding of the Holy Spirit, however, is something we need to carefully avoid. The Holy Spirit's work is vital not only to how we live out our faith, but shows us the character and likeness of God's nature. This is why we study what the Scriptures say about who the Holy Spirit is and how He works in our lives. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that God gave us the Holy Spirit to be our helper, our personal navigator who will never leave us stranded or confused. It's the Holy Spirit who gives us the power to follow Jesus and convict us when we sin. We may not always feel His presence, but really, He is always there. And now in his message called The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
He says in verse 16, "And I will pray to the Father, and He will give you another." There's the word. Notice, by the way, even in the English, it's in capital H. The word is parakletos or paraclete. Parakletos, parachute, parabol. Parallel, it means alongside. Kletos, parakletos, the helper who comes alongside you. You hear what he's saying? I'm leaving. I gotta go. By the way, I gotta go. I'm gonna build you a place. I'll come pick you up, but I gotta go. For a lot of reasons, I gotta go. If I go, listen, I'll give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. So mark it down in your notes. That's one of the names of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Truth. Whom the world cannot receive. In other words, listen up, everybody. This is not going to go over big. This will go over like a bunch of rocks. The Spirit of Truth in you and I, in this world, the world cannot receive. Instantly the Christian. How many of you are Christians? Raise your hands. Okay. The Christian who's possessed by the Holy Spirit is at odds with this world. And the world cannot receive your worldview now. They don't get it. Look, let's be honest. Before we were Christians, we didn't get it. Come on. And this immediately puts us at odds. You're not of this world anymore. Remember, the Bible tells us that we are ambassadors for Christ. And that Greek word for ambassador is an ambassador that is sent to go into a hostile territory. It's not an ambassador, you know, like the ambassador of the Rose Parade. Oh, big deal. What do? You sit in a car and you wave. No, we're talking about an ambassador that goes into, where would that be today? North Korea or Iran to be an ambassador. Can you imagine going into Iran and saying, "Hey, I'm a Christian. Kim Jong-un, before you press the next button, I just want you to know I'm a Christian." That's the word. That's radical. That's how we are in this world. The world doesn't get it. They don't get us. They don't understand. That's why they think we hate. You're all these things. You Christians, you this and this. By the way, beware if you claim to be a Christian and everybody of the world thinks you're awesome. Jesus said, you can't be friends of both. You know that conviction you're feeling right now? That's the Holy Spirit talking. I just want people to like me. They're not going to, unless you give them stuff. The way humans are. I just want a lot of friends. You don't need a lot of friends. I just got news for you. You don't need a lot of friends. You just need You know, first of all, you've got Jesus. Yeah, but I want somebody to hold my hand. Okay, you only need two or three of those. Okay? I've got 5,000 people on my Facebook friends. No, you don't. They're not your friends. I have all these friends. I have hundreds of thousands of friends on Facebook, and they ain't always nice to me. So how can they be my friends? Right? Think of that. It's kind of weird. He says, but you know him. Well, let me back up, actually. Verse 17, for the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither knows him or sees him nor knows him, but you know him. For he dwells with you, listen, watch, with you, and will be in you. This is amazing. We may not get any further tonight just due to the importance of this statement. Verse 17, Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit operationally is always alongside everybody. He's everywhere. Listen, the Holy Spirit, in future weeks, we'll get into his deity. But the Holy Spirit is God. And we'll prove that to you. If you have any Jehovah Witness friends, in the next 5, 6 weeks, 7, 10 weeks, bring them. They need to know this because they do not believe the Holy Spirit is a person. And they do not believe that he is God. And the Bible says he's God. And we're going to show you where it says all that. Okay, verse back up on the screen. We're almost there. Actually, we're not even close to being there. Back up on the screen. So watch this. He dwells with alongside you. And some of you have the old King James where it says, and shall be in you. That's a futuristic statement. When Jesus said this, it hadn't happened yet. What hadn't happened yet? It had never happened in the history of mankind up until this time. And that is the Holy Spirit had yet to dwell inside of a human being. Jesus Christ is our prototype. He's the forerunner. So the Holy Spirit is not only God. We heard a moment ago that the Father dwells within the Son within the Father. And we understand that the Trinity is not able to be trisected. And so God is one, right? Did hear the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Okay? So Jesus is saying, the Holy Spirit is alongside you, but something's going to happen, and he's going to be in you. In fact, he's going to be in you to the point we read a moment ago, forever, at the end of verse 16. So he says he dwells with you and will be in you. Verse 18, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Okay, this gets incredibly, beautifully wild. Look at that carefully, Bible students. We're talking about Jesus, the Son of God. He's speaking, right? You all agree on that? He's talking about the Father. We all agree on that? And he's talking about the Helper. The Paracletos, the Holy Spirit. We all understand that? This is amazing. Look at verse 18. I will not leave you. Stop right there. You just told us you were leaving. Did you catch that? Yes. Gotta go. See ya. I'm gonna go build you a place. I'll come back. Gotta go. In fact, it's better for you for me to go. I'm gonna send the Holy Spirit though. I'm not gonna leave you orphaned. Okay, I get that. Okay, so he's not going to leave us orphaned. He's going to send us the Holy Spirit. Yes, but notice what he says. I will not leave you. I will come to you. How does Jesus Christ interact in your life? If we went right now and asked all the children in children's ministry, where's Jesus? J. Vernon McGee was talking about a kid that went to his school, church for the first time. Some of you have heard this. This is awesome. So this family's shopping for a church, and they go to a church, and the kid goes to the Sunday school class, and the teacher is trying to get the kids to understand, where's Jesus? And it just freaked the kid out. And so the teacher was saying, okay, do you know? And she says to this kid, oh, you're new? So he concluded, wait a minute, they're asking, where's Jesus? She's asking, do you know, do you know? And then she just figured out that I'm new here, and the kid got up and ran and got a hold of his parents and said, we got to leave this church. We have to leave this church. And the parents said, what are you talking about? Why? And he said, they don't know where Jesus is, and they're trying to pin it on me. That's very cute. If you go to children's ministry and ask the kids, where's Jesus? Listen, it's so amazing. Only 150 feet from here. Think about it. If I ask you where Jesus is, you're going to go like this. If I ask the kids, where's Jesus? They're going to go like this. Did you know that? And Jesus said, you need to become like a little kid to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, are you correct in pointing up? I guess. I mean, symbolically, we point up. It's like, but they get it. That's the right answer inside. Okay? Guys, put up John 15, starting at verse 18. John 15, 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world would love its own. Does the world love you? Good. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, next slide, maybe. They will keep yours also. Verse 21, but all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. Verse 22, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. Verse 24, if I had not done among them the works which, or miracles, which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. Because when the helper, look at that. All of a sudden, he goes from persecution and guilt by association, the Christian with Jesus and the Father. He goes right back to verse 26 and he says, but when the Helper comes, when the Holy Spirit comes, the Parakletos, whom I shall send to you from the Father. By the way, here's the Trinity in the Bible. The Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. Let's keep going with this. John 16, verse 7 through 11. John 16, verses 7 through 11. You guys okay? I know we're not even really teaching tonight. We're just walking through this tonight, but this is good for us. Yes. Plus, it's the most Bible you've had all day today, so it's great. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your, here you go. This is amazing. It is to your advantage that I go away. Those guys must have been scratching their heads. Jesus, you don't get it. We'd rather just hang out with you. It's amazing. There's free food with you. There's always action. It's amazing. Anybody dies, you raise them up. Anybody sick, you heal them. No, we want to stay with you. Don't leave. Don't go. No, he said, it's better for you. You're going to have an advantage if I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. You know what that means? Do you know what the day of Pentecost means? Yes. Do you know what happened? Yes. What happened? The Holy Spirit came down and the church was born on the day of Pentecost. That's 50, Pentecost. In other parts of the world, they're called 50-day Christians. Did you know that? 50-day. I'm not joking. 50-day Christians. The Christians who believe in the full gospel are, we know in America, they'll say Pentecostal. But if you believe in the Gospels, if you believe in the full Gospel of God, they'll call, in other parts of the world, they call them, oh, you must be a 50-day Christian. If you believe the Bible, yep, you're a 50-day Christian. What does that mean? It means that the Holy Spirit controls you. The Holy Spirit owns you. So watch how cute this is. This is awesome. How do we know if Jesus, after he ascended, do you remember he ascended from the Mount of Olivet up out of their sight? How do we know Jesus Christ made it to heaven? You have no evidence or proof whatsoever until 50 days later. How do you, well, Jack, I don't get it. Because Jesus said, when I go to the Father, I'll send him to you. You say, well, what, did it take him 50 days to get there? No, it didn't take him 50 days to get there. Jesus came, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit on the feast of Pentecost, which, listen, the sending of the Holy Spirit by Jesus down upon his church 2,000 years ago was the actual fulfillment of the reason why there was a feast of Pentecost in the Old Testament. Every Old Testament feast, there's seven of them, all of them have a New Testament answer to them, except the Feast of Trumpets and the Feast of Tabernacles. There's, did you get that? Five of the feasts have been fulfilled in a New Testament act. Example, Pentecost, the Holy Spirit gave birth to the church. Two have not been fulfilled in New Testament times. We're waiting for it to happen. The Feast of Trumpets, get that trumpet, hello. A trumpet shall sound, the dead in Christ will rise, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet them in the air. And where do we go? We go to the Father's house, and we tabernacle with the Father. I will send him to you. Verse 8, and when he comes, he will convict the world of sin. This is amazing. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes to earth to do his work, he's going to convict the world of sin. That's what he does. That's why people grind their teeth and hate God. They love their sin more than God, and they grind their teeth in hatred against God. Listen, I'm not joking when I say this. I'm not being funny. When we have legislators who try to silence the preaching of the Word of God because it's offensive, they are literally totally ignorant of who the Holy Spirit is. They're trying to sue God. When the gospel's preached and the Holy Spirit's moving, you want to know if you're going to a church where the Holy Spirit's moving, there's going to be all kinds of stuff going on, but the key thing will be conviction. It's going to be the Holy Spirit that's going to tell you inside your head, be nicer to your wife, will you? It's the Holy Spirit that's going to say, you know what? It's not good for you to do drugs. You're killing yourself. He doesn't punch you in the face. You could be sleeping with Bubbles tonight. He's not going to beat you up. He's going to tell you, you shouldn't be sleeping with Bubbles. It's going to kill you. But if you dig your heels in and you resist him, the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, in the end, people will be so hardened that it says that they're going to shake their fist and curse God while all these miracles are going on earth. What? He loves you. He knows exactly how your life is supposed to go, how it's supposed to be. Let's finish this section and then we'll have some Q&A, okay? So start thinking of your question now so we don't miss anything. So he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness. The Holy Spirit's the one that says that's right and that's wrong. Everybody knows it. Listen, friends, listen. Oh, pastor, pray for my teenager. Pray for my 23-year-old daughter. Pray for my 25-year-old son. They know the gospel, but they've gone astray. And they're nope, I got it. We'll pray. Just know this. The Holy Spirit, their life's miserable. Well, no, they're doing fine. No, they're not.
No.
But they're making so much money and they're doing that. It's okay. It's okay. If they're Christians, they're miserable. If they're really putting it on, the more they put it on, I'm doing great. Awesome. It's so great. Oh, man, I'm doing great. Have you ever seen people do that to you? So I haven't seen you in a while. I'm just kind of, you know, taking a break from God. It's awesome. Just doing great. I'm doing great. They oversell it. Okay? And it's not so great. The world, it's not so great. If you're not a Christian tonight, and you're doing your stuff, whatever that is. Let's be honest. It's not so great. You talk it up. That's why you always talk it up on Monday at work. Remember when you were not a Christian, you'd lie your face off on Monday. Hey, how was your weekend? Awesome. What'd you guys do? Oh my goodness, you won't believe it. We did this and this and this and this, and then we went and did that. And oh man, it wasn't that great. You know it. That's why you got to talk it up. It wasn't so good. He convicts us of sin, and he also tells us what's the right way to go. Listen, you're a wayward kid. I told the lady on Sunday, she wanted me to call her son. I go, wait, did you tell him that he shouldn't be doing this? Yes. Does he know the gospel? Yes. I said, how many times have you told him he shouldn't be doing this? Thousands. And I said, never tell him again. Right. Stop it. Right. And just pray him. Yes. Pray him right in to the hands of God. Yes. So I don't know how to do that. And I told her, I said, you'd go like this. Dear Lord, the next time he goes to that place, this is how you're going to pray, ma'am. Lord, the next time he goes to that place and puts his last stolen dollar into that slot machine and pulls it, may he vomit all over the place. May he get sick. The next time he hears a casino, that he would just be repulsed and become sick. She said, can you pray like that? That's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. David said, Lord, my enemies, you know who they are. Break their teeth off in their mouth. Did you know David did that? It's called imprecatory prayer. It's called imprecatory prayer. I kid you not.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Life Radio, in his message called The Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 1. So glad you joined us today. You know, the Holy Spirit in the Life of the Believer, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Why Series. It's a series that brings to light the difficult questions of life and allows us to logically reason together while looking to God for the answers. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, do you have a close friend who's different from you in almost every way? A friendship that on the outside seems unlikely, but on the inside, it makes perfect sense. Well, there once was a printer and a preacher who came from separate countries and followed different philosophies, but not only became fast friends, but they were two of the most famous men in America. The printer was hardworking, inventive, often quite funny and yet practical with humble manners. And the preacher, on the other hand, he was boisterous, often gathering outdoor crowds by the thousands, proclaiming that you must be born again to get into the kingdom of heaven. Who were these two men who together established both the spiritual and the social foundations for young America? Pastor Jack's book of the month for October is The Printer and the Preacher by Randy Peterson. It's the story of the powerful and amazing friendship of Benjamin Franklin and George Whitefield. The Printer and the Preacher is not only inspiring, but it's a book that you'll want to get an extra copy of to share with your close friend. And who knows, maybe together you can help make the world a better place as you share the love of Jesus Christ to those around you. The Printer and the Preacher by Randy Peterson is available for a gift of any amount at our website, jackhibbs.com. One more time, that's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.